This morning I'm going to be talking to you about discerning your internal dialogue, and it is like a theme the Lord has me on. We're coming at it from different angles. I didn't really plan it that way to start with, but it's just unfolding that way. And we're going to be diving into that this morning. I want to go back to last Sunday for a moment, what happened in the service when our worship team got into that place and Rachel was releasing a declaration through song concerning open the door and letting the light in. That became a very powerful moment. And I want to tie that in to what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning as well about dialoguing, discerning your internal dialogue. In the beginning, everything was darkness, and God said, let there be light. Scientists even tell us that your brain basically lives inside a dark box called your skull. And the truth of the matter is, everything in the outer world around us, we perceive it through the entrance of, primarily, I know we can feel, we can smell, we can hear, we can taste, but primarily it is through light entering into our eye. Jesus said the eye is the light of the body. It's the means by which what exists in the outer world enters into our conscious reality through light. And that organ that lives in a dark box called your brain. Actually, as I've taught you, your brain and your mind are two different things. Your brain is the physical organ. Your mind is the part of the inanimate part of you as a soul and spirit. And your mind will use your brain in order to process your environment, in order to command your body. So, the word says, the entrance, the psalmist said, the entrance of thy word, to use the KJV, the way I memorized it, the entrance of thy word gives light. So we live in a day where people talk about virtual reality. And in a sense, though we're not living in virtual reality, there is a sense in which the reality around us is made known to us through the light that enters in our eyes, and then our mind reacts to that and forms perceptions. And all of us have different perceptions. But when God's word, which is light, enters the mind, the inner part of your being, it brings the light of truth, the light of who he is, because in the beginning, he said, let there be light. Okay? So last week in that prophetic moment, in that, I really hear a clarion call from the Lord to us to, again, to really be hungry for the revelation that comes from him, and particularly from his word. And we're very open to the prophetic here. We're very open to the means of revelation that the scripture presents to us, whether vision, dreams, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecy, and so forth, tongues, interpretation of tongues. But all of that sits firmly upon the written word of God, the revealed word of God. And the Holy Spirit's overseen that, okay? I just wanted to share that with you because I believe that was a moment in the service last week that transcended us. But I also believe the Lord is speaking to us in that moment to be very open to the revelation that he wants to shine upon us. And I pray this morning as I step into the scripture that his light would shine. I pray that our hearts would be soft and pliable and open, that our hearts would be good soil to receive the seed of the word this morning. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. I really believe the Lord has something good for us this morning out of the word. It's gonna help us. Okay? So, discerning your internal dialogue. All of us, and I know they think, you know, when people talk about hearing voices in their head, people say, well, that's a crazy person. Well, then all of us are crazy. Because pretty much all of us, we have these conversations that take place in our mind. These voices in our head. Sometimes, even though we're grown, your parents may be gone on, you still hear their voices in your head. You may hear your spouse's voice in your head at times, your children and so forth. You're a teacher. And Lord help you if you spend much time on social media, because you got a swarm of them in there trying to tell you stuff, okay? But we have this internal dialogue, and it can get us in trouble. It can get us in trouble very quickly, and we're going to see that this morning. I read about Mike Tyson. Most of you have heard of him. He's a real famous former heavyweight boxing champion. And I mean, he had a power punch like no other. A lot of people did canvas time under the heavy hand of old Mike, okay? But he said this when being questioned about preparing, making his plan for the fight. He said this. He said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And isn't that true? I mean, in life, you kind of figure out, you're thinking this is the way life's going and it's going well, but then you get punched. There's going to be some punches thrown your way in life. It's just part and parcel of living. Scripture is very replete with this truth. One being, Paul said, if you live a godly life, you're going to be persecuted. That's just given. There's going to be punches thrown, and it can upset your plan. Well, I thought I was doing the right thing, or I thought I was in the right place. I thought, and all of a sudden you're punched. And you begin to question. And it's at that juncture, it's at that very crossroad, at that moment, that these other voices will try to hijack that moment and redirect your life. We see it in Scripture. And I'm going to, as a matter of fact, a whole group of people, this was happening to in the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews is writing to believers that they came to know the Lord, they were living for the Lord, things were going well, then pow, punched, persecuted, assaulted, defamed, shamed. All this stuff was happening to them. And in the middle of that, some of them began to second guess. Some of them began to question. Some of them began to listen to these other voices and decided, I'm going back to the Old Testament temple. You know, leave this with you, I'm going back. And it resulted in them going back. Think about walking away from the grace of God. Think about saying, I'm not so sure about Jesus on the cross and all those benefits. Because they'd been punched. It can happen to us too. Oh, maybe not that overtly, or you might not say it in that way, but you slowly begin to regress, turn away, drop off, lessen your passion, and the next thing you know, you're just in a different place with the Lord. You're in a different place in your life because you're not hearing the voice of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 3, you can put that scripture up there now. Hebrews chapter 3, I'm not even going to share a whole verse, just part of a verse. Hebrews 3:15, it says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The rebellion is a reference here, if you read the verses previous, it's a reference to the children of Israel after they had been delivered out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. They make it to the promised land, and God says, let's go get them, boys. I'm paraphrasing, redneck version. And they said, uh-uh. We heard about, we got a report about those giants. And they rebelled. They refused to do what God told them to do. And as a result, they got stuck in a loop in a desert. And they died over a period of 40 years. All of them over the age of 20 dropped dead like flies because they refused to hear the voice of the Lord and do what the Lord says. And their hearts were hardened. And the writer's telling these people, don't allow your heart to be hard. This could happen to you. So we're going to take this piece of a verse apart this morning and apply it. We're going to look at some applicable highlights out of this short little verse and apply it to our lives and help us to discern our internal dialogue. Okay, the first thing I want to say to you is this verse tells us there is something that you can do today that will help you for the good. There's something you can do today that's going to help your life be better. Emphasis the word today. It's the Greek word that means today or now. The urgency on this word and its meaning is this sense. Don't delay. Don't put this off. It's incumbent upon you to get in on all that God's got for you. You need to do it now. You need to get in on it today. It encourages us not to procrastinate when it comes to hearing what God's trying to say to us and acting on it in the way he tells us to, when he tells us to, how he tells us to, and so forth. So the emphasis right now, the application for you is, today there's something you can do that's going to help you have a better life. It's going to help you tap into what God has for you today. Now I'm going to tell you what that is on the next point, but right now let's talk about this, the timing. Because it's so easy to say, you know, man, I'm going to think about this. And it's good to think about things. As a matter of fact, today's message is really encouraging you to think about what you're thinking about. But now, when the Lord's speaking, you need to pay attention. Now, today. Have you noticed that the seasons in the natural, they don't wait on you? We're in what season right now in the natural? It's springtime, right? Followed by summer, followed by this four of them. We all did pretty good with that. Okay. But it's springtime. So what do you normally do in the springtime? Like farmers, what do? It's planting season, right? So I've got me some 5-gallon buckets with some tomatoes and plants in them. And I've got some strawberries growing. Thank you, a toy. And then we've got some squash and some other things growing. Why? It's a season. You plant in season. It's important. But see, how does this affect your internal dialogue? Well, God established the seasons. God's the one that causes the sun come up, the rain come down, and all that. He's in charge of that. So that's kind of established, and we've accepted it, and we believe in it, so we know this is the truth. This is when we need to do this. But if you want to apply this to your internal dialogue, imagine that you got to think and you thought, you know what? I don't like this being springtime. So I'm not going to plant. I'm going to wait till this fall, and I'm going to plant my tomatoes. I'm going to plant my cantaloupe this fall. And I'm going to plant my banana peppers. I like those. I got some of those. I'm going to plant those this fall. Well, you could do that. You could choose to do that. You can plant anytime you want to plant. Be happy. Go for it. But guess what? You're going to miss your harvest. And this is kind of what this scripture is saying. Right now, the Lord is giving you an opportunity to turn this around, to get things in order. And it's what I'm urging you to do. It. You need to do it today if you will hear his voice. Harden not your heart. Let me tell you something about how this works, all this puts together. A lot of times it's that punch that I mentioned when something happens that will cause you to question your line of thinking. Now, sometimes that can be good. It can be a wake-up call because you've been thinking wrong. But a lot of times, you may be doing the right thing. You love the Lord. You love your neighbors. You're living your life. And then, boom. It's at that moment, the pain of that moment, the discomfort of that moment that we're confronted with and challenged by, it's in that moment that we have that, why is this happening? What did I do wrong? It's at that very moment, that precise crossroads, at that moment, that the enemy will step in there and he will try to seduce you and deceive you. Because often we'll say, why did this happen to me? When maybe a better thing, if we're living by the word, we know the word says God works all things together for good, right? And the very next verse, after Romans 8:28-29, it says, God is conforming us, and he's predestined to conform us into the image of his son. In other words, God's plan before time was to make us like his son, Jesus. So that tells us no matter what happens, God's plan's still on the table. He's going to work no matter what you're going through and facing. He's going to work it together for good. Check. And he wants to use it to make you more like Jesus. check. So if I'm confronted with something in that moment when I'm being, these other voices are tempting me, if you be God's son, turn these breads into stone. It happened to Jesus. In that moment, you revert to the word. Not why is this happening? Lord, I don't know why this is happening, but I know your word says you're going to work it together for good. Help me to see the good in what you're doing, or what's going to be the good. Lord, I know you're going to use whatever's happening here to make me more like Jesus. I humble myself. Lord, help me to learn this lesson. Help me to see what you want me to see. Help me to respond the way you want me to respond. That will gain ground quicker for us than questioning. I'm not saying questions are wrong. Why is this? That's a natural question. But if you live there, you may develop a victim mentality. You may develop a lot of self-pity. You may get frozen in a place of pain and not dare trust, take another step of faith, lest something else happen. So it's important for us to think the right way. So very, very important. So that's the first thing that I wanted to say is today, there's something you can do that will make life better for you. Now, the second thing is the something that you can do. The something that you can do refers to hearing what God is saying to you. Notice the scripture. Today, if conditional, if you will, your will's involved. It's a choice you make. If you will hear his voice, not those voices. Not the devil's voice. There's a lot of voices. You can hear God's voice. You can hear the devil's voice. You've got your own internal voice. All that happens. Let me give you an example in Scripture where this went awry for somebody that really loved Jesus. Peter. Matthew 16. Peter, Jesus tells the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over to the religious leaders. They're going to kill me, but I'm going to be raised from the dead. He said it plainly to them. That's what the Scripture says. You know what Peter did? Not so, Lord. Paraphrasing. Pete's here. I'm not going to let this happen. This is not going to happen to you. You know what Jesus did? He looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of man. Now break that apart. Okay, Peter, you're listening to the wrong voices. First of all, you're being demonically influenced. Get behind me, Satan. Secondly, your own way of thinking is interfering with you hearing what the Lord is saying. He was the Lord, and Jesus was, and he was a saying it. And Peter still rebuked him. So he sealed himself off from being able to receive the revelation Jesus was sharing because there was demonic interference, Satan. And his own human desire was not for Jesus to die. He didn't want that to happen. And that was his intentions were good, I'm sure, but that didn't keep the devil from using him. Are you hearing me? Jesus rebuked him. When the Lord gives us a revelation, it's because we're going to need it. This is what's going to happen, the revelation. And he resisted that. His own mind got in the way. Ananias and Sapphira, they listened to the wrong voices. They lied to the Holy Spirit and they died. There's examples of this in Scripture. And we need to understand this. Our own voice is skewed not to heed the things of God. That's what the Scripture says in Romans 8. That the carnal mind is an enemy to God. That's what it says. So we have to overcome that. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But right now, I'm talking to you about hearing what God's saying. We have to believe that there's a standard. And I believe the standard is the Scripture. In other words, it's got to be a standard. Okay? Imagine living in a world where there's no standards. We're building a new building over there, okay? Let's say over there all of the construction people showed up and nobody could agree on what an inch was. or what a foot was? What if there wasn't an accepted standard of measurement? 1 inch, or in Europe they're in the metric system. I hadn't converted yet. I'm hanging on. But if there wasn't agreement on an inch, how could you get something built? You ladies that love to cook, you share your recipes. What would that taste like if there wasn't a standard called a teaspoon or a tablespoon, a cup or an ounce? Well, what would that look like? Well, out on law enforcement agencies, they exist because there's a standard. And when people break the standard, then they're held accountable for it. That's called the law. If you get out on 72 and you come 80 miles per hour down through there, you're breaking the standard and you could end up being pulled over for that. But what if there's no standard? What if there's no standard called a mile or an hour to be able to gauge time? You just have chaos. You go to the nearest intersection. That's the red. The light's red. But what if there was no standard? So red can mean to me what I want red to mean. And red can mean to you what you want red to mean. And then... So I'm going to say red means go. There's trouble, right? You got to have a standard. And same thing in a culture. I mean, imagine living in a culture where there's no standards. And you're thinking, well, I don't have to imagine that anymore. But think about it. Well, I see a man, but, or I look in the mirror and I see a man, but I don't like what I see, so I'm going to be something else. But what about the scripture? Doesn't matter about the scripture. That's what it means to me. No, there has to be a standard. And let me tell you why I believe the scripture is the standard. Before anything existed, God existed. And God said, let there be light. And his light came into the darkness. He spoke by fiat, by his words, everything into existence. And he created it from nothing. In other words, he's the singular point of creative origin for us all. He made us. He designed us. He made the universe. He designed the universe. He has to say about how it operates. So what he says goes. His word, therefore, is the standard. The Holy Bible is the compilation of his word given among 40 men over a period of about 1,500 years. It has stood the test of time. People have staked their life on it. We stake our eternity on it. If you throw out if there's no standard, all you have is disruption and chaos. How does this relate to the discerning your internal dialogue? Because if you don't have a standard, you don't know if you're believing a lie or believing the truth. If you don't have a standard, when you're hearing something from a voice, you don't know if it's a lie or if it's a truth. You wouldn't know if it's the Lord or if it's the devil. You wouldn't know if it's your own inclination or if it's an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There has to be a standard. Because you're going to think in alignment with what you truly believe. And what you truly believe will form your thinking pattern. And how you think will determine how you respond, react, and behave. So it is very important what the standard is, because it determines what you believe. That determines what you think. And what you think determines what you do. And what you do, you're either going to be in hot water, you'd be cursed or blessed. So, we're told there's something we can do. And the something that we can do is hear his voice. But if you don't believe in the standard, you don't believe in the scripture, if you don't believe there is a God, you don't believe he'll speak to you, you're on your own. And you're going to find chaos. Now, I want us to let's move on. I want to move on in this scripture, and notice the next thing. It says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Okay, this tells us that you need to be aware. You will need to overcome the tendency to harden your heart toward God. We naturally do that. our natural way of responding to truth because of the curse is to harden ourselves toward it, toward the Lord. So, in order to discern our internal dialogue, we need to realize there is within us a tendency to vote for the other side. Going back to Romans 8:6. Your carnal mind, the unsanctified, unrenewed mind, is God's enemy. So your carnal mind's going to vote against God. Your carnal mind is easily led by demonic activity. This is the truth. So we got to overcome this tendency. Sometimes knowing why things are this way can help us understand. You know why it's this way? It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. In one singular moment of time, all humanity went from a state of absolute perfection. Didn't God declare that? He saw that it's good, very good. He said it was good until he invented women. Then he said it's very good. That'd been a good place for some feminine amens right there. In a singular moment, all humanity went from perfection to imperfection. In a singular moment of time, they went from holiness to sinfulness. How did that happen? Through a dialogue with the wrong voice. Now, what I'm pondering on lately is how Satan seduced the serpent. We know Satan was moving and working through the serpent. But we know the serpent was separate from Satan because the serpent cursed and went on his belly. And I'll see one every now and then in the woods. But Satan's still roaming to and fro throughout the whole world as a spiritual entity. So back to the story. And Adam, I got to pondering with you, didn't I? Okay. Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were perfect. Satan came through the serpent, began a dialogue with Eve. She brought her husband alongside. They got into agreement. When this other voice telling him, well, you know, God's holding out on you. He knows if you eat from this tree, God had told them not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat from this tree, you'll become like gods. And so that appealed to them. They were perfect. But that didn't mean they were untemptable. Okay? If that's a word. They couldn't be tempted. And yet they yielded to that, got into agreement, and the moment they bit into that fruit, they experienced the evil. They got into agreement with Satan. They personally experienced evil. They had known only good with God. And in that moment, the light in them went out. And now they have to struggle. The curse brought about struggle. But it works in your garden. You can see the struggle. It works in your soul. That's this internal dialogue of the wrong voice, the right voice, the negative voice, the positive voice. Because of the fall, you and I have our thinking is skewed toward negativity. It's easier for us to believe the worst will happen than the best will happen. It's easier for us to be mesmerized by the evil that's happening instead of remembering and seeing the good that's happening. That's part of the fallen nature, to be drawn in that direction. It's like the magnetism of evil pulls on that carnal nature. And think of it. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God said, you can have it all. I just am telling you, you can't have this. But when they bit in there, that competing voice entered into the world. And we still deal with that. And sometimes it's internally in our thoughts. You may not think of it in terms of spiritual things, but it very much is. The enemy wants you to believe all kind of lies about yourself. He wants you to believe all kind of lies about other people. He wants to convince you of things that are not true. and turn you away from God. It's important for us to understand this. This word here, to harden, is the word scleroma. It's where you hear it in the word arteriosclerosis. The sclerosis part is from the word scleroma in the Greek. It means to harden, to dry. Like arteriosclerosis is the hardening of one's arteries over time. Our hearts, spiritually speaking here, internally, can also become hardened and to the voice of the Lord. If we don't understand this for all practical purposes, we can become deaf to the voice of God. It's interesting that this word, scleroma, what it means in a metaphorical sense, is it means to be stubborn, to be obstinate, to be unreasonable. And a hardness is created through that resisting, hearing the Lord's voice. And we become hard until we at last become stubborn and we become rebellious. And that's the reason he says, as in the rebellion. An example would be in a marriage, and a husband and wife, maybe they have some little arguments and they become resentful. And if they stay resentful over time, then when they get into argument, no one's listening to anyone. He's not hearing her because he's thinking about what he's going to say to refute her argument. And then when he's speaking, she's not listening to him because she's thinking about what she's going to say to refute his argument. And it just becomes an impasse, and people become unreasonable. They become obstinate. They become stubborn. And it's interesting, when Jesus was asked by religious leaders about, they were trying to trick him, but he was asked about divorce. He said, in the beginning, that is when people were perfect, it was not so. But Moses has allowed it because of the hardness of men's hearts. Same word. In other words, there's that hardness creates a communication problem. And like in a marriage, and then and you just, the idea is the hardness keeps you from hearing what you need to hear. To have a healthy, just like the hardening of the arteries in the heart keeps you from having a healthy heart so you can have a healthy life. The hardening that happens, like in our communication in our marriages or any of our relationships or in our church, if that becomes hard because of resentments and callous, then we can become stubborn and obstinate and unreasonable, and we're not hearing what we need to hear. And the ultimate price we pay with a hard heart is the failure to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. So we need to realize there's a tendency in us to resist His voice. But if we know the word, if we get the word in us and we embrace that, and the Holy Spirit who lives in us, He will convict us and He will bring us back into alignment. That's the reason being humble is so important. To have a teachable spirit is so important. To listen to things others are trying to tell you, particularly if you know they love you and they care about you. Sometimes the truth hurts, and we're to share the truth in love. But we've got to keep our hearts in a place that we can hear the voice of the Lord when He's speaking to us. And the writer of Hebrews was warning sternly these people, bad news is on the way if you don't hear what the Lord's saying and heed it. When you got saved, you got a new identity. You don't have to be tethered to what happened in the garden, because when Jesus died on the cross, He died to deliver us from the power of the curse and its effects. We get the total package. We won't get the total package until we get our resurrection body, but we got the promise of the whole thing. Just like those people, they had all the promise they needed before they left Egypt of what God was going to do for them. But they didn't make it in. Why? They refused to hear His voice and do what He said. And now as believers in Christ, being in Christ is now our promised land, our place of rest, our place of provision, our place of the Lord providing everything we need. For them, it was Canaan. For us, it is Christ. But the same hardness of heart that kept them out of Canaan can cause us not to fully appropriate all that Christ makes available to us. So we've got to have a tender heart to hear and to receive the seed of the word, so that we can be molded and shaped into the very image of Christ. so that we can do the works that he did, see life the way he saw it, hear his voice, be tapped into the Holy Spirit, and live life in the supernatural. This is what we are called to. But because of the curse, we have a faulty perspective, so we just need to be aware of that. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit began a rebranding campaign in your life so that you begin to see everything from a different perspective. So when that light comes in, you no longer see it the way you did. You see things different. I remember when Andrew got saved at age 6, he opened his eyes. The first words out of his mouth after he got saved was, "The room's more purpler." Because we were in a room that had purple walls. "The room's more purpler." That's true in more ways than that. It changes your outlook. You're born again. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Last thing I want to share is in the last part of that verse. He says, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The last thing he says, as in the rebellion. Here's the application. You can change, even though you come from a long line of rebels. You can change, even though you're genetically linked to a long line of people who have rebelled against God. All humanity has. And it's amazing to me the way he writes this and crafts it, because he's talking to a contemporary audience of his time, but yet he links them to people that lived 1,500 years earlier. He says, as your hearts, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. He was linking them to the same behavior their forefathers had demonstrated in the wilderness. Yeah, we've all got to overcome some stuff when we arrive here that's passed on genetically from Adam. But that's the power of the cross. That's the power of being in Christ. You are no longer who you were before you were saved. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're an overcomer. And though the default mechanisms you were born with, it means that you always see the worst instead of the best. Now in Christ, you know, I'm an overcomer, and good triumphs over evil. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not below. I am blessed. I'm adopted into a royal family. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. I can release the kingdom of heaven into the kingdom of earth. That's who we are according to God's word. So we can change because of all the resources. Folks, if you are saved, you are in the promised land. You need to take the grapes off the vine there. You need to dwell in the place the Lord has for you and so forth. We learn to appropriate those by faith and by believing what the word says about who Christ is, who we are, what Christ did, what we can do, what Christ is doing, and what we can be doing, when that Christ is coming, and what's going to happen. You know, everything's laid out for us. That's the plan. And even if we get punched in the face, the plan still stands because it's a standard. Let God be true and every man a liar. Don't be pulled left. Don't be pulled right. Don't be pulled into sin. Don't be pulled into despair. You take your stand on the word of God. You get it in your heart. You speak it out your mouth. And you learn to meditate on it. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let it then. If he says, let it be in you, let it. It's in you through the Holy Spirit. But let that mind operate and renew your mind. The Holy Spirit will take the scripture and renew your mind so that you'll think from God's perspective. That light of the word will be interpreted and you'll see life through that instead of that default mechanism where you think the worst of people. And the enemy, those other voices that get in your head, every time you see two people in a corner talking, he'll convince you they're talking about you. I mean, just stuff like that, messing with our minds. We need to get on top of our internal dialogue. Amen. know who we are. And it, I don't mean this unkindly, it really doesn't matter what any we, let me say it this way, it doesn't matter what we think someone else is thinking about us if we fully understand what God thinks about us. One of the lies in being influenced by what you think other people are thinking about you is the fact that other people aren't thinking about you. They got their own life. They got their own battles. It's just it's another one of those internal dialogues that the devil says, I want to have some fun today. Watch this. And off we go into vain imagination. Our worship team's coming. Now, look right here. I want to talk to you. You are a spiritual being. That's who you really are. You have a soul. Your mind, motion, will, imagination, reason. And your soul and your spirit inhabit your human body. That's the physical, material part of who you are. You can touch, you can pull your hair, if you got hair to pull, you can do all these things. And your spirit and soul, it's like when you get in your car and you drive yourself home in your car, your body's like that for your spirit and your soul. It moves you around, it helps you interact with the world around you. In your spirit, you relate to the world above you, the spiritual realm, so to speak. Of course, it's not just above us, it's all around us. In your soul, you socially relate to the world around you. In your body, you physically relate to the material world around you. But you are spiritual. That's the reason the scripture is indispensable to your life. I mean, you're not going to get fully charged. Your battery's not going to get fully charged without the Word of God. Because that's your fuel for your spiritual person. Daily Bible reading is more than checking a box to keep from being embarrassed in a class, like when I grew up. It's a good thing because it encouraged you to do it. But you need to feed on God's Word. Now, listen to this, because this helped me when the light bulb went off for me. Because you and I are spiritual beings, to really meditate on the scripture, what we are doing, and I don't mean this in any wrong, new agey way, okay? But just listen to me. Meditation means that we get better at disconnecting everything that relates to the outer world and to be able to focus on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us, the spiritual nature of the Word of God. I mean, you close your eyes and it's just like, you know, sometimes it helps me to have music playing, worship music playing loudly. Sometimes it helps people to be in complete quiet. But whatever helps you to just kind of blanket off the external world and just to be able to begin to dwell on truth, the light of the Word. And a lot of my sermon preparation is done just this way. Now, I may have my eyes open as many times. Mickey will testify this many, many times. Hey, Eddie. And I'm sitting 4 feet from her. And I'm just like, got a blank stare. But I've learned to, of course, having 4 children in the house growing up, you learn to do these things. Just like flip a switch and you're somewhere else. And then you begin to ponder these truths. You're taking, like I took this scripture part, I take it apart and I'm thinking and I ponder all through the week. And in that pondering, all of a sudden a flash of light will come. By that I mean, here will come a revelation. And you, wow, And you start connecting this to that. Then the Holy Spirit reminds you of this scripture. And the more scripture you got in it, you know, he'll bring it to your remembrance. And then you begin to get revelation. And if you stop there, that's cool. But it's not until we appropriate it and use it in our life and then see that doing what God says produces what God's word carries. That's the nature of the word. A promise in scripture will contain the power to perform the promise it carries. If it's a scripture about healing, if you ponder that, meditate on it, put faith in it, and act on it, the energy, the healing, the power, the energy and power of healing will begin to be released in you. The same way about being a better husband, being a better wife. The same thing about honoring your parents, raising your children, your finances, your health. Let the light in. Open the door. Let the light in. Open the door and let the light in. I mean, does that want you to open the door and let the light in? Because it's transformation. It's life changing. Would you stand with me? Anyone struggling with thoughts, anyone having mental warfare, anyone that just wants to hunger, this altar's open. You want to come up here and pray? Anyone that needs prayer, just come here and stand. We'll pray with you. But we just invite you to respond to what God's saying to you, where you are. What are you facing? What do you need? If you had to boil it down, what has the Lord spoken to you this morning through his word that you know, I'm grabbing hold of this? I need this. Respond to it. You can respond where you are. Sometimes it helps me. It helps others to come and humble yourself before the Lord. Spend time with him. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, please come. I'd love to talk with you about how your life can be changed in a moment. I mentioned that moment in the garden where they went from perfection to imperfection. The best moment is when you go from being a sinner to becoming righteous by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that happens in a moment too. Just like Adam and Eve lost it, we find it by embracing a word from the Lord. That if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Boom. Boom. That's the punch you want, right? Let's raise our hands. Lord, I want to receive your light. Just repeat after me. I want to receive the light of your word deep into my heart. Forgive me of any resentment and hardness of heart, any stubbornness and obstinacy, any wrong unreasonableness. Lord, I want to be open to receive your word. And I declare over my life that your word is alive and powerful. And like a sword, it'll penetrate deep into my soul and spirit. And I'll be able to discern what's from you and what's not from you. Help me to be led by your spirit and manifest that I am a son, a daughter of God. In Jesus' name. I encourage you to come. And right then, just like that, when I'm praying, I started getting a pulsating pain in this part of the abdomen. It's on the left side, right under the rib cage. Just a pulsating pain. I've learned to realize that many times that's the Lord saying, somebody's here and you've got that going on. He wants to touch you and he wants to heal you. So I encourage you just to come up. I'll happily pray with you and we'll pray for your healing. So come, anyone with needs, you come right now, just for a few moments, give you the opportunity to respond. And I'm going to ask a few of our leaders, if you would, just to come and be here, some of our older people, if four or five of you will come and just be here to pray with people. If a couple of you over here too, please. Yes.